Awesome. What's up, Wake? How are we doing today? And I'm so excited to be with y'all this morning. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Ryan Fitch, and I just hopped onto the Wake team as their resident this year. So a little bit about me. I grew up in the greatest small town ever of Mount Vernon, Texas, about 100 miles east of here. Y'all probably have never heard of it because if you drive through it, you blink and you miss it. So it's super small, but I moved here. It's also in the middle of nowhere, so I would be surprised if you've been to it. But grew up there, graduated from high school at Mount Vernon High School, and then I moved to Dallas, to the big city. Went from the country to the big city. My parents thought I was crazy, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to college. So I came to college here in Dallas. I went to Dallas Baptist University. Go Pats! No? Okay, cool. It's about what we get every single time. So if y'all don't know, Jonathan Linder's also a Patriot. So is Josh Seitz, who just did the game. So we run deep here at Wake with the Patriots. So go Pats. But I just graduated from DBU back in May. And then I went to camp, worked at Pine Cove. Do we have any Pine Cove campers in here? Come on. Come on. Go Cones. Go Cones. We love Pine Cove. So I worked there all summer. I was at the high school camp leading worship. Just had a ton of fun. It's so awesome that y'all get to go to ranch camp and Timbers camp. So I'm super encouraged by that. But when I got done at Pine Cove, moved straight here and hopped into the Institute. And that's how I'm here today on the Wake team. And I kind of want to show you a little picture of me in middle school real quick. Pull it up. There I am right there with the Air Force Under Armour shirt, some shorts that are way too long, and some glasses that are way too big and a bad haircut. But I grew up thinking Bucky's was the coolest place ever. Anytime my family, come on, it's awesome. It's like Walmart and a gas station had a baby. It's Bucky's. It's awesome. So I loved that place growing up. But the one thing I want to share about this picture is that the Ryan that's in this picture did not know Jesus. Like, he in middle school did not have anyone sharing the gospel with them and like trying to help him know our Creator. And so the reason I love serving on the Wake team, love serving y'all in middle school is because, man, I didn't have the opportunity that y'all have right now to come and hear the gospel and have leaders pour into your life and have small group where they just care about you and love you well. And so I just wanted to share that picture because, first of all, it's funny. Second of all, there's a meaning to it of just why I'm here today. And so I get the honor of kicking off a new series today that I'm super excited about. It's called The Gospel Changes Everything, as you saw the sick little bumper video there. And so what we're going to be looking at in this series is how the gospel applies to your life today, how it affects your life today through looking at the story of the Bible. So we're going to start in the beginning with creation, and then we're going to walk through the fall of man, and then we're going to walk through how Jesus Christ redeems us and how he restores us back to him. And so you might be thinking right now, like, hey, Ryan, I've kind of heard all this. Like, I've heard the gospel. I've grown up at Watermark. I've been to Pine Cove. I go to camp, go to Canacook. Like, I already know all this, Ryan. And the thing I want you to hear today is that, man, you may know it, but today we're going to talk about how it applies to your life. Like, you may know it, but you may not know how to live it out. You may know it and not know how to practically implement that in your life as a middle schooler in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this sermon series, basically just how does it change your life and affect it today? And there isn't a better way to kick off this series than starting with the story of how God created the heavens, the earth, and you and me. And so today we're going to go back to the very beginning, to the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to the first few pages, and we're going to look at Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And you might be thinking at the moment, like, Ryan, like we're going back into Genesis. I thought you said we're going to learn how the gospel applies to our life. And like, we're in the Old Testament. Like, the gospel specifically is found in the life of Jesus in the New Testament. So why are we going to Genesis 1, you may ask? Well, the reason for that, it's kind of like this. So last week, me and my roommates were watching a movie in our living room. It was me and my roommate, Blake. And we were about an hour into this movie, and my third roommate, Riley, he walked in, and he sat down, and he just started watching this movie. Like, no context, just started watching it. And then when the movie ended, Riley was like, man, that's a great movie. Blake's like, man, that's a great movie. I was like, yeah, let's talk about it. So we started talking about the movie. And then Riley asked the question. He goes, hey, like, Blake or Ryan, could y'all tell me, like, what happened at the beginning? Like, I know I missed a lot of that movie. Could you tell me? Because I think the movie was pretty good, but I don't understand it because I didn't see the beginning. And So we explained it to him, and then he fully understood the meaning of the movie and like what all happened. And it's the same thing with our Bibles today. If we don't fully understand the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, starting with Genesis, going all the way through Revelation, if we don't understand the beginning, then we're not going to understand the end. The New Testament is the climax of the story of the Bible. The climax is Jesus. That's what it's all pointing to. Scripture's pointing to one thing, and it's the life of Jesus. And so if we don't know what's happening in the beginning, then we won't understand what's happening in the ending. And so that's why today we're going to go to Genesis 1 and 2, and we're going to be looking at God's character. And through creation, we see his character in about three different ways from a story that is thousands of years old, guys. Like this book, the Bible, is thousands of years old. The story of creation is even older. And so we're going to step into Genesis 1 and 2, and we're stepping into the beginning, the absolute beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. And so I want you to tune in today because it means a lot. And what we're going to see in Genesis 1 and 2 is that God gives us life. We just sang about it, that you give life and you are love. And we see that he gives us value. He breathed his life into us. It's your breath in our lungs. And then thirdly, we're going to see that he gives us a purpose just through these first two chapters of the Bible. And we're going to apply that to our life today. So, Father, we come to you this morning just hoping and praying that you'll open our eyes to see your gospel in the account of creation, Lord. Father, will you soften our hearts to see your goodness in creation, Lord, to see your love in creation, Lord, to understand that you give us life and everything around us life, Lord, that you give us value, Lord, so we should place our identity in you, Lord, and that you give us a purpose, and that purpose is to know you. So, Lord, will you help us know you deeper today, Lord, and fall more in love with you. Lord, if anything I say is not of you, Lord, may it be voided. May it not sink in, Lord, but may only the words that you want everyone here at Wake to hear be heard and be remembered, Lord. May it only be from you and not from Ryan. And it's all in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So, Wake, there's so much information in Genesis 1 and 2. Like, I could probably talk, no joke, I can get nerdy and geek out and probably talk for hours upon hours about what's going on in Genesis 2 and all the things God's doing. But I really today, for the sake of our time, I want to really highlight about the three things we just talked about. I want to kind of highlight what's going on and point out a couple key verses. And so we see the verse 1, Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This is a summary statement. So the book is starting off telling us what's about to happen. It's saying God created the heavens and the earth. That means all creation. And when he does that, it's showing us, okay, we know that he's creator of everything. We know he has power, and we know that everything comes from him immediately. From the first sentence, the summary statement, he's about to break down how he did that. But also, if we look at this sentence, let's go to English class real quick. Does anyone know what the subject of this sentence is? There it is. God. Y'all know y'all's English class. Hey, so what that means, first sentence of the Bible, the subject is God. So what that tells us is that the rest of this Bible is going to be about God. He's setting us up for the theme of the Bible. It's all about him. He's the creator of heavens and the earth. And the first sentence of this book that is pointing to him is about him. So that's huge. That's good to remember as we start our study in the story of the Bible. And then further on in chapter 1, we see day 1, he created light and he separated it from the darkness and he said it was good. And so I kind of have a cool picture of we don't know what it looks like, but I was like, man, I just looked up light and darkness, and I believe it looked something like this. Like, he spoke light into existence. The sun was not even a thing yet, and he spoke life into existence. He spoke it from nothing. Day 2, he created the sky. So I have a cool picture of the sky. And when I look at the sky, like this, I think we think of awesome, just masterpieces of art. From the color of just the orange to the blue. And just, yeah, Picasso. Like, he's literally the creator, and he's so artistic that he created this, and even the detail of the clouds. And we see that every morning throughout the day. And like in the night, like he's just pointing to our creator. Day three, he created land, sea, and plants, and he said it was good. Now, I chose a sunflower for this, and you're probably like, out of all things, Ryan, why'd you choose a sunflower? And why I chose it, because I think it's really cool. So a sunflower, the way God created it, it faces the east in the morning. And if y'all know, the sun rises from the east, and so the sunflower is already facing it. And as the sun's going throughout the day, the sunflower follows it. Like it has a mind of its own. And that's the way God created it. He created it to follow the sun. That's why we call it a sunflower. Also because it kind of looks like the sun. And also I think it's crazy that, did y'all know that 1,000 to 2,000 seeds are in one sunflower? That's crazy, right? Like I would have never thought that, but God created it just like that. Then day four, we see that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he said it was good. And this photo, this is probably, I can really nerd out about this photo. So this is not computer generated. This is not drawn up by an artist. This is an actual photo from the James Webb Telescope taken July 12th, 2022. Literally 2 months ago. This is a photo. It's a near infrared image, and it's of the Carina Nebula that is about 7,600 light years away. And y'all are probably like, that's crazy. So Ryan, what are we looking at? What you're looking at here is it is a young star that is forming. 7,600 light years away. God created that. Says he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he's still creating 7,600 light years away as a young star is forming. And I don't even really know what that means in that picture, but that's crazy. You can find more about it on NASA's website or whatever, and it just literally points to God. Day five, he created all the water creatures and the birds, and he said it was good. So I kind of have a cool picture of a bird. It's like, just random. I don't even know what species of bird that is, but I was like, you know what? That's cool because God chose every single color on that bird. He created it just like he wanted it, and that's how it turned out. Crazy detail, crazy creativity. And then day six, he created all the creatures of the land, and he said it was good. I think I have a picture of a cheetah right there. I think that's like one of the coolest cats in the animal kingdom. It's like super fast, so ooh, ah, all that. But then here comes one of his greatest creations. Day six, guys, here, listen in real quick. Day six, he also created humankind. He created man. And there's a picture of the old students team right there, the old wake team. And when he created man, though, like we see like all the stuff he's created throughout all the days, he said it was good. You can see, you can go through circle each time he says good throughout chapter one. But when he creates man, he puts an emphasis on us. He says that we are very good. He sets us apart from the rest, guys, when he created humans. So that's key, and we're going to dive into that. And then day seven, God rested, and it's not because he was tired from creation. He didn't need the rest because he's God. He's self-sufficient. But he rested on the seventh day to show us an example that we also need rest because we're man. So in the first, that is kind of the first chapter, just in summary, kind of highlighting some points through it. And I see one key theme, and it's actually our first point today, and it's that God gives us life. You see, throughout each day of creation, he is giving us life. There is weight in the breath of God because he's able to create in one single breath. He said, let there be light, and it was. He's able to divinely imagine all these things. His divine imagination is seen through his divine creation. We see in verse 2, earth was without form, yet he gave it form. Without form, and he just spoke it and gave creation form. He gives light, and we know that with light comes life. What do plants need to grow? Water. What's the other thing they need? Sunlight. So, and soil. There's some more. But they ultimately need some light. But and then he created the vegetation. He created the plants. So he gave more life. And he created the fish. And he created the birds. And he created all the land creatures. And then he created humanity. In verses 26 and 27, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so if you look all around you, you can see his creations. And sometimes I just have to sit back and I think, on his creation. I go, when I travel and go to Colorado and go to the Grand Canyon, I'm just in awe of his creation. And when I think of that, I just think of all the ways that he just put all the details and created just how it was supposed to be. And it just makes me fall more in love with our Creator because all the created points to him. So I kind of just went through my camera roll on my phone and just got two images to put up here. And they were really just, when I looked at them, I was like, man, like that. I remember specifically those times. So I took these pictures. The one on the left I took in October of 2020. Me and some of my college buddies, we took a trip out to Colorado, and we hiked up to the very top of the Great Sand Dunes. So, yeah, you been there? Dude, it's awesome. I look at that picture, and I wouldn't know I was in Colorado. I would think, man, am I in the Sahara Desert? Where am I at? And I'm just in awe that he created each dune right there and all the sand particles that are in there. And it just points me back to our Creator. And then this photo on the right I took at Pine Cove Shores this summer. I was sitting on the dock with a good friend, and we were eating our dinner and just watching the sunset. And he painted that masterpiece right there and just put me in awe. And I'll never forget it. Like, when you look at a sunset, to me, I think it just points to God. And when it points to God, it just makes me fall more in love with him. It's like, he painted that, and he created that, and he lets me enjoy it. And that's awesome. So how do we apply that God gives us life? And we do this, like, if the Creator gives us life, then are you seeking to find it outside of him? Are we seeking to find life outside of the Creator who gives us life? Maybe it's in sports. Maybe it's in social media, how many likes you get, how many followers you have, how many subscribers you have. Maybe it's you're trying to find life in obtaining your parents' approval. There's so many other things that we can point to. But if he gives us life, then we should seek with everything our life to be found in him. God breathed creation into existence from nothing. He showed us that he's in control. And if he's in control of everything, then it's more than just what we can see. He's in control of you and your life. And when he created you, he breathed himself into you. We just sang it. It's your breath in our lungs. And he gave humanity his breath, showing that we're valuable. And that leads me to our second point today, which is that God gives us value. He gave you value. Because in verse 26 and 27, chapter 1, he says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So these verses show that God literally gave us value because he made you, he made me, in his own image and after his own likeness. Someone, you don't just create something and put your image upon it and not love it and not value it. And then further on in chapter 2, specifically verse 7, it gives us a more detailed account of how he created Adam and how he created man. And he says this in verse 7, chapter 2. "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." He breathed into his life, into his nostrils, the breath of life. God breathed his life into you, and that makes you valuable. It's your breath, his breath, in your lungs. So we should pour out our praise. If he created you and gave you life and gave you his image, that means you're valuable to him. And he loves you and he wants to be with you. But because he made us in our image, that doesn't mean that we physically look like God. I think it's obvious that we all look different in this room. And so if he literally physically made us in his image, we'd all look the same. Right? But God doesn't have a specific physical image. Doesn't mean he literally made us with his mind. Doesn't mean he's literally made us to where we can think and talk like him. But he's made us with the ability to know him. He placed his image and likeness upon us so that we can know God and have the ability to portray his characteristics and display his characteristics to the world. And so sometimes we can look at this text and see that God has made us in his likeness. And we should see, because he did that, that he loves you. He values you right now. Ever since the beginning of creation, when he formed all of humankind, he had you in mind. And he values you and he loves you because he gave you his image and his likeness. And sometimes we like to value things other than God. And they start to become our identity, because when you place your value in something, that thing ultimately becomes your identity. If you place your value in sports, it's going to become your identity. If you place your value in how many likes you get on your Instagram post, it's going to become your identity. And so we can keep going on with that, but the thing that we see in this text is that when God created us, he created us to put our identity in God because he's put our identity, his identity in us. And you'll never be satisfied with putting your identity in anything other than himself, than God. He's where value's found. And so my question would be to you, where are you seeking value? What are you seeking value in other than him? What are you seeking value in other than God? He values you deeply, and because of that, he wants to know you. He wants to be with you because he values you. That was his intention towards the end of chapter 2 with Adam and Eve. He places them in the Garden of Eden, and when he did that, it's because he wanted to know them. And so we see that God gives us life and he gives us value, but the question still begs to be asked. Like, if he created us to give us life and he created us to give us value, why did he create us? Like, the question wasn't answered. He's just simply stating that we're created, and he created with life and he created with value. But why? Why did he create this? And that's what leads us to point 3. He created us with a purpose. And so God gives us a purpose, and that purpose is to know him and to reflect him. So when we look at the end of chapter 2 and he places Adam and Eve in the garden, he just desires to know them. The creator desires to know that which he has created. He's created you, and he desires to know you today. And he gave you his image and his likeness, as we see. He made you valuable, and because of those reasons, he desires to know you. It's all been leading up to this. God didn't need to create you. He's self-sufficient. He didn't need you, yet he did create you because he wants to know you, and he wants to love you, and he wants to give himself glory through your life. So what do we see in the Garden of Eden? We see that God gives Adam and Eve a purpose. He says, hey, I want you to rule over the heavens and the earth. I give you dominion. I want you to tend the fields. I want you to tend the livestock. And then ultimately, I want you to know me. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God would come down and walk with them and talk with them. And you don't do that with someone unless you desire to know them, right? That's what God wanted. That's the ultimate purpose that he's leading up to. And it's the wake. It's the same for you this morning. God wants to know you. He gave you a purpose of knowing him today. So we see that in him, you find life. In him, we find life. And it's the life he created. It's the life he spoke into existence. Then we see in him, we find value. And it's the value he placed upon you and within you by making him in making you in his own image. And then we see that in him, you find your purpose. We find our purpose in him, and that purpose is to know him and to love him and to reflect his character to all around us. And so we see, I think it's pretty simple, that the gospel literally changes everything through the story of creation, right? Because in creation, we see that he's given us life, and he's given us value, and he's given us a purpose. It's pretty clear. However, I think it's really hard in today's world. Would y'all agree with me that it's hard to find our life, value, and purpose in God today? Yeah? I would say it is. And that's because these two chapters that we're reading in Genesis, it's a different world than the one we live in today. And it's obvious that something happened. Like, man, it's hard to find life in God because there's all of these things that are pulling me this way and that way. It's hard to find my identity in God because there's all these things pulling me this way and that way, and I feel like he's distant. And it's hard to find my purpose in life because I feel like my purpose is to be a great athlete. I feel like my purpose is to have good grades on my report card. I feel like my purpose is to gain the approval of my parents. But your purpose, Wake, is to know him today. Do you believe it? It's hard to do it because of what happens in the very next chapter. We see in Genesis 3, there's something called the fall of man. And Adam and Eve, God gives them one rule. And we're going to see next week, we're going to talk through it a little bit more to understand what happened between Genesis 1 and 2 and today. And it all happens in the next chapter in Genesis 3. And so we're going to learn about that next week. And this is how we fully understand the story, guys. Do you see where we're coming from when we go to the beginning? We have to understand what God intended for us in the beginning to in order to fully understand what's happening now. And we're going to start working our way towards that. And this is how the gospel changes everything. You have to understand the beginning of the story in order to fully understand the end of the story. But today, wait, you can be confident in knowing that God created you to give you life. God created you to give you value because he wanted you to find his identity in him. He created you with his identity within you and placed upon you, and you're made in his image and his likeness. And so your identity should be found in him if he placed his identity upon you. And then we see that he gave us a purpose. He didn't create us just to simply create because he's a big man in the sky that said, you know, I'm all powerful, I'm all creative, and I'm just going to create these people just to create them. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to create them, and then I'm going to know them. I'm going to create them, and I'm going to know that I love them. I'm going to let them know that I love them because I desire to know that which I created. That's his desire for you. In Psalms, it says God delights to know you. He delights in you. For by him all things are created, and in him all things are created. He's the author of life. He's the maker of everything. We just sang about it. It's his breath in your lungs, and so we should give him praise as our king, as our God, as the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the creator of you and me and everyone else and everything else we see. He's the author of everything. And so for that, we should give him our life. We should find our identity in him and our purpose in him. So, Father, thank you so much for just your word this morning, Lord, that we can look at the beginning of creation and just see your character, Lord, and how much you love us and how you created us with an end in mind, Lord, and that end was to know you, Lord. I pray that everyone here at Wake can know you, Lord, for that everyone does know you and has a relationship with you, Lord, and desires to walk alongside you, just like Adam and Eve walked with you in the garden. Lord, you gave us life ever since the beginning, thousands of years ago. You spoke into existence, so we're thankful for you. Lord, you gave us value by creating us in our own image, Lord. May we live that out daily. May we find our identity in you because we know that you value us, Lord. Will you teach everyone in here that you value them, that you love them for who they are, and you created them just the way they are? That they're beautifully and wonderfully made. May that truth sink in deep to them. And Lord, may they know that their purpose in life is not the things of this world, but their purpose is to know you and to love you and to reflect your character, Lord. And it's not just a one-way relationship. It's a two-way because you do the same with us. You desire to know us and you do love us, Lord. And you want us to reflect you and then give you glory. So, Father, we're thankful for you today. We're thankful for creation, Lord. May it change everything and be applied to our life, Lord, for where we're at, Lord. May it be applied to these middle schoolers' life, that they live a life knowing where life truly is found. They live a life knowing where their identity is, and they live a life knowing what their purpose is in this life, Lord. And it's all in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, Wake. You're dismissed. We'll see y'all later.